I'd like to thank Aaron K. for sponsoring this week's Torah content. June is less than a month away, which means that I'll soon be transitioning into summer writing mode, with more Substack articles and fewer recorded shiurim. The bulk of these articles will remain free. However, if you would like to support my Torah and access additional spicy written content, consider becoming a paid subscriber by going to rabbischneeweis.substack.com. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the audio version of the two-page article I wrote and published on my Substack at rabbischneeweis.substack.com. Originally on March 17th, 2022, but I'm re-recording this and republishing it on March 18th, 2024. And the article is entitled, A Theory Connecting Purim to Yom HaKippurim, which is not based on specious linguistics. One of my Purim pet peeves is when someone gives a Dvar Torah about the thematic relationship between the holidays of Purim and Yom HaKippurim on the sole basis of their similar sounding names. This claim rests on two pillars. One, that both names contain the transliterated word Purim, and two, that the prefix ki means like in Hebrew. The claimant usually starts off with saying, Yom HaKippurim is a Yom Kippurim, a day like Purim, and then goes on to weave their own tapestry of ideas on that foundation. This cute play on words can serve as a basis for an idea that stands on its own two feet, but anyone who thinks that this constitutes actual evidence hasn't carefully read the Megillah. The Pasuk says in Esther 3:7, as translated by Naaman Novetzky, quote, in the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, he casts a pur, which is a lottery, before Haman from day to day and from this month to the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, end quote. Why does the Pasuk need to clarify what pur means? Ibn Ezra answers, because it's a Persian word. Naaman Novetzky, citing the BDB entry for pur, suggests that pur might stem from the Akkadian puru, meaning stone or lot. Either way, Purim is not a Hebrew word and therefore has no linguistic relationship to Yom HaKippurim, a Hebrew word from the root kaf pe resh, meaning atone. Folk etymology aside, I was curious about the origins of the claim that there exists any sort of relationship between Purim and Yom HaKippurim. Despite the ubiquity of this notion, I barely found any references in the early sources. The Maharal of Prague, 16th century, writes about this in his introduction to Or Chadash, referencing material from the medieval 11th century Midrash Mishle, 9-2. This relationship is also mentioned in Tikkuni Zohar. Still, I wasn't able to find any direct references in the works of Chazal, the Gaonim, or the Rishonim until yesterday. Rambam in Hilchos Megillah V'Chanukah 2:17 writes, quote, it is better for a person to be excessive in gifts to the poor than to be excessive in his meal and in sending gifts to his fellows. For there exists no greater or more glorious simcha, joy, than to bring simcha to the hearts of the poor, the orphans, the widows, and the converts. For one who brings simcha to the hearts of these downtrodden individuals resembles the Shechina, the divine presence or providence. As it is stated in Yeshayahu 57:15, to bring life to the spirit of the lowly and to bring life to the heart of the oppressed. End quote from the Rambam. Where do we hear this pasuk in Yeshaya every year? In the Haftarah of Yom HaKippurim. This makes Rambam the earliest source, to my knowledge, who relates the two holidays, albeit indirectly. Even though the application of this pasuk from Yeshayahu to Purim is a chiddush, a novel insight on the Rambam's part, caring for downtrodden individuals is undeniably one of the major themes of Purim. Moreover, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, in The Rav Thinking Aloud, notes that it is always preferable to base a philosophical idea on a halachic, legalistic source, rather than an agadic, homiletical one. Quote, with agada, we are not sure what we say is correct. We have no tradition as to the interpretation of the maxim, as we do in halacha. When testing philosophical ideas, it is thus preferable to introduce a halachic rather than agadic motif. End quote. Now that we've established that there is a thematic relationship between Purim and Yom HaKippurim, which is reflected in halacha, the question remains, what is that relationship? The Haftarah of Yom HaKippurim opens with the pasuk cited by the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah 2:17. The Navi then goes on to answer the question asked of Hashem by the Jews at that time, why did we fast and you did not see? Why did we afflict our souls and you did not know? The Navi answers, quote, can such be the fast that I choose, a day when man merely afflicts himself? Can it be merely bowing one's head like a bulrush and spreading sackcloth and ashes? Do you call this a fast and a day of favor to Hashem? Surely this is the fast I choose, to break open the shackles of wickedness, to undo the bonds of injustice, and to let the oppressed go free and annul all perversion. Surely you should break your bread for the hungry and bring the moaning poor to your home. When you see a naked person, clothe him and do not hide yourself from your kin. Then your light will burst out like the dawn, and your healing will speedily sprout. Your righteous deed will precede you, and the glory of Hashem will gather you in. Then you will call, and Hashem will respond. You will cry out, and he will say, here I am. If you remove from your midst perversion, finger-pointing, and evil speech, and offer your soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light will shine in the darkness, and your deepest gloom will be like the noon. End quote. From Yeshayahu. The message is clear. No matter how devoutly we fast and cry out in prayer, Hashem will not respond until we repair our relationships with our fellow human beings. One can only enter the realm of Bein Adam Lamakom, between man and God, through the gate of Bein Adam Lachavero, between man and his fellow man. This theme is certainly appropriate to Yom HaKippurim, a day on which we appeal to Hashem to accept our prayers, our fasting, and our teshuvah. But what does this have to do with Purim? According to the Rambam, everything. In his introduction to the Mishnah Torah at the end of the list of mitzvos, Rambam explains the central theme of Purim and identifies its basis in the Torah itself. Quote, the prophets, along with Beis Din, instituted and commanded us in the reading of the Megillah in its proper time in order to recall the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the salvations he did for us, that he was near to our outcry, in order to bless him and to praise him, and in order to make known to the coming generations that that which was stated in the Torah is true. As it is stated in Devarim 4:7, for which is a great nation that has a God who is close to it, as is Hashem our God, whenever we call to him. End quote from Devarim and the Rambam. Purim memorializes the most dramatic instance in history of Hashem's promise to be, quote, a God who is close to us whenever we call to him, end quote. The Megillah clearly states that the Jews fasted at the behest of Esther in response to the threat of Haman. We can infer that this fasting was accompanied by prayer and teshuvah as well. But the narrative in the Megillah alone might lead us to make a grave error, namely to assume that fasting and prayer are enough to warrant a response from Hashem, but they are not enough, as Yeshayahu and all of the other Nevi'im have reminded us throughout the ages. This, I believe, is the thematic connection between Purim and Yom HaKippurim. Both days share the theme of calling out to Hashem in hopes that he will answer us. Both, therefore, are in need of the reminder that Hashem only responds to those who walk in his ways, to bring life to the spirit of the lowly and to bring life to the heart of the oppressed. Perhaps this is why the mitzvos of Mishloach Manos and Matanos Le'Avyonim were instituted, to remind us, on a day commemorating Hashem's response to our outcry, that we will only merit such a response if we promote love and peace between our fellow Jews and enact righteousness and justice on behalf of the oppressed.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.